the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast.
Joyous feast.
Before you sit, come close to the bed. I will repeat in part what I said on the eve of the feast and on the day of the feast, and then hopefully look at something new. First of all, the feast presents us with two challenges, one historical and one social. The historical challenge has to do with the fact that the entrance of the Theotokos into the Holy of Holies did not occur. If this is the case, why do we celebrate this feast? What is its importance? As you're thinking about that, let me just give some historical background to this feast. It has a very late appearance in our church. It appears based on the testimony of St. Andrew of Crete in Jerusalem sometime during the 7th century. It makes its way to Constantinople during the patriarchate of St. Tarasius sometime in the 8th century. In the West, it has a much later appearance. It appears towards the end of the 14th century during the pontificate of Gregory the 11th in Avignon. The feast has a late appearance, and yet this late appearance opens to us a way in which we can begin to appreciate why we celebrate this glorious feast. First of all, it is a sign that the church does not cease, should not cease, to look in upon itself. The fact that we have this feast is the result of the church entering into itself, examining itself, and able, therefore, to detect the activity of the Spirit in texts that exist outside of the canonical boundaries. Therefore, the text related to this feast is not in the New Testament. It is in a text outside of the New Testament. It is a text under the category of the Apocrypha. The feast is the result of the church looking in upon itself. And as the church looks upon itself, it takes to itself this inspired text so that it can continue to reflect on what we celebrate. And first of all, what do we celebrate? We celebrate the fact that a three-year-old child enters into the temple of God and makes her way, makes her ascent into the Holy of Holies. This little child, this three-year-old child, is the one who fulfills all those types of the Old Testament. She is the gate through which the king enters into the midst of his people. She is the candlestick upon which the light of the world shines. She is the tabernacle. She is the ark in which rests the Holy One of God. She is the temple in which God will become incarnate. She is the one who reveals to us our great and high calling as priest. She is the one, this three-year-old child is the one who occupies the Holy of Holies. And who could enter the Holy of Holies?
The high priest.
Only the high priest. And how many times a year?
Once.
Once. She spends her life from the time she is three until the Annunciation. She spends her life in the Holy of Holies. And how is she nourished? How is she nourished?
fed by an angel.
She is fed by angels, and how else? She is fed by God Himself. In the silence of God, the Virgin receives His teaching, His word. St. Gregory Palamas, when he preaches about this feast, emphasizes that the Virgin is the Hesychast par excellence. She is the one who practices silence, who enters the mystery of silence in order to hear and to receive the word of God, which will enter into her very being and take form and will become incarnate for us and for our salvation. The feast shows us that we, like the Virgin, are to be priests dwelling in the Holy of Holies, entering the realm of silence, entering also the realm of liturgical celebration. And this leads me to the second challenge. Last week, after liturgy, some of us gathered in the library to talk about the election of our new metropolitan. And in the course of our conversation, other topics came up, and Tim Bell raised a very important issue. It is the issue of secularism. How many have heard this term? Okay, so now you're on the spot. What is secularism? Don't scare me. Worldly, very warm. Let's turn up the heat and get to very hot. Worldly. What is its basis? You mentioned the world. And if the world is the basis, then what is absent? Who is absent?
God.
The point of reference of secularism is what?
The self.
The self, or anything other than
God.
Than God. Than God. This feast offers us living in a secular culture a great challenge. And what is that challenge? Precisely liturgical celebration. If we are to appreciate the fact that God has become a human being so that we human beings can become God. And in fact, this is what St. Gregory Palamas says in one of his homilies relative to this feast. It is through the Virgin, and only through the Virgin, that God becomes a human being. And therefore, because of that event, because of that historical event, we can become God by grace. If we are to enter this inexhaustible mystery of becoming God by grace, we cannot do this by ourselves. It requires participation in liturgical life, and I am well aware how difficult it is for us to gather as church, because just as the Virgin is referred to as ark and temple, we in our gathering are also ark and temple of the living God. We, when we come together and form the church is not this structure. This is the building in which the church gathers. When the church gathers, then we are able to celebrate and enter into this mystery of God's love for us, His love for us to the extent that He desires with great desire, that He has from all eternity destined us to become, to be like Him according to grace, by grace itself. To enter into this space, to gather as church, is indeed difficult. Unfortunately, and here's where we have to reflect on what we are celebrating. Unfortunately, we live in a culture, because of secularism, that has reduced liturgical life to either an extracurricular activity or to something really that is not essential. It is not a matter of life for us. It is interesting. It can be beneficial even for us, but it is not essential. It is not essential. Let me just relate something that I experienced many years ago in Boulder, Colorado. I was the token Orthodox boy at a Buddhist Christian conference, and I was absolutely amazed at the dedication of the Buddhists gave offered to their meditative practice. It was something that was done daily, intensely, seriously. And in fact, I met a Buddhist who had grown up as a Christian and left Christianity simply because he detected that it was not serious. It was not serious. It was a once-a-week event that posed no challenges, that raised no questions, that had little, if any, impact on his life. To be here, to enter into these feasts, to truly embrace the gospel, to allow God to enter into our lives as he entered the life of the Virgin requires tremendous effort. Tremendous effort. It is not a one day a week ordeal. It is moment by moment. And liturgically, we can say on the one hand, oh, Holy Trinity Cathedral has, I don't know, minimum 4 services a week. But in fact, we are not much different than most of the Orthodox parishes in America. We are, for all intents and purposes, a weekend parish, and maybe just a Sunday parish. This is the tragedy, this is the challenge that each of us faced, especially those with families. And I can say, having 5 children, and thanks to Susan, I exist. That sound for the most part. Because of this family life, I know very well how difficult it is to come here, to be here, to form the community of the church. And yet, if we don't do this, if we don't struggle with this, then yes, we can say secularism is victorious. Secularism is victorious. And we Orthodox Christians, do not have God as the focal point. We have God as some being who exists someplace, who from time to time can come to our aid. We live in a culture, one of the fruits of secularism, because there is no orientation to God. One of the fruits of secularism is the ignorance, the lack of experience of the transcendent. We live in a very one-dimensional culture, very one-dimensional existence. And it is only if we go to a museum, go to a good concert, can we have that experience of the transcendent. What an indictment against the church. It is here that we are to have this experience of the transcendent, triune, tri-personal God. It is here that we are to be like the Virgin, personally bearing God within ourselves, corporately being that new creation in which everyone and everything is made new. But all of this comes at a cost. The cost is commitment. And that commitment is difficult. I know from my own experience, whether I am married and with children or not, I know personally how difficult it is. And yet, If we do not make that effort, if we do not see that here is where we can experience beauty, that here is where we can experience the transcendent, here is where we can experience communion with God and each other, then if we can see that, we can understand why we need to be here, why we are compelled to be here, because being here is what sustains us. Being here is what feeds us, just as the Virgin is fed by the living Word of God, we too can be fed by the living Word of God and grow in that communion now and forever. Amen.